Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 23, episode 4 of
Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah. For March 22nd, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Bohemian Jaxody, courtesy of a.k.a. God Chapman Rice, and I am joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
That's right, a.k.a. the Blazing Power Granger, because I watched the new Power Rangers movie last night and was so disappointed.
Oh,
I don't
yeah?
even know why I thought I would, why I wouldn't be. But this is what happens when it's late at night, you can't sleep, and shit is on Amazon Prime.
Alright, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian, Mr. Ryan Singer.
Hey, how you doing? A.K.A. Salvador Dali, because I paint pictures with my words and knock you out with my verbs.
That's nice.
I came up with that when I was 14, and I've loved it ever
been holding
since.
You were MCN 14?
Yeah, I was MCN, and, you know, in Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
At an all-Catholic school.
Yeah.
Just, you know, wishing to escape.
Dayton is a very musical town.
Yeah, it actually is.
Funk music has originated out of Dayton.
Yeah, Dayton's got a great music scene.
Yeah.
What Catholic school in Dayton?
I went to St. Albert the Great grade school, and then I went to Alter High School.
Alter, yeah. That's where I would have gone had I stayed in Dayton. I lived in Centerville.
For a
long time, 5 years.
You probably would have heard tales about me, you know?
the great MC.
So you probably heard of me then.
Actually, I guess it's kind of timely. There is a walkout policy at my high school because of me.
Oh, really?
Because I organized a walkout when I was in high school.
Oh, wow.
My junior year.
Over what?
A couple of friends of mine got arrested for having paraphernalia in their car, but it was off school property. So my grounds for protests were illegal search and seizure.
Damn.
And the and so I organized a walkout, and maybe only 25 kids joined me.
Yeah, yeah.
And ever since then, they've had a no walkout policy at the school.
Okay, well, I didn't know we were with such a leader, an activist. Yeah,
nothing as like, you know, dramatic or as needed as, you know, what these kids nowadays are doing.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
But they're like, they took my homie's bong.
Yeah, but it was 93.
It was
a different time in 93. They took my homie's bong.
100%.
Yeah.
Well, my family was run out of that town.
Really?
On a rail. Yeah. My dad was a basketball coach for University of Dayton, and they were really bad the last couple of years. And we got the whole
Wait, your dad's sales. Jim O'Brien?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not
my
kidding.
My dad would be
He's like, you motherfucker!
My dad would be pooping his pants right now that I'm hanging out with the son of Coach O'Brien.
Yeah, man.
Oh, my God.
But we got the for sale signs in the front yard and everything.
But your dad did all right. Your dad did all right after you guys got run out of town.
Yeah,
Boston
yeah,
Celtics,
yeah, he did all right.
NBA.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love how serious. You remember. You're like, man, I remember egging your fucking house.
Well, I remember. Well, when you grow up in Dayton,
right.
Like UD basketball is
big
bonkers.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they've been selling out their arena for, I don't know, decades.
Right, right.
And they've always had like teams that are like good enough to make the NCAA tournament, but never good enough to like really win it all.
Right,
but,
right,
like,
right.
But they still believe.
Yeah.
Right.
Like that they're the Cinderella. It's
always.
Cinderella
always
town.
Cinderella.
And, oh, man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, and,
I had some of my best years in Dayton, man.
Was it crazy? Like that was like you were legit just being harassed, or it's just kind of
yeah,
shit
I
like
mean, that's
that.
Not,
that, sucks.
That didn't like define our time there.
Right,
it was
right,
just
right.
Ugly at the end because, you know, he was going to be on the front page of the sports page and people were calling for him to get fired. And, you know, as a 12-year-old, that's
right.
You're like, why are they being mean to my dad?
Right,
yeah,
right,
exactly.
Right.
He's doing the best he can.
I was super. Like I lived and died with every one of the wins, so I took it pretty hard. But
you know, it's like, and people in Dayton don't want to accept the fact that guess what? Not a lot of 18-year-old kids who are the best at what they do want to live in Dayton, Ohio,
right.
And go to a Catholic college.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right,
like,
right.
It's like, you know, they have this delusion that they think that like we should be getting the best players,
yeah, attracting the best.
They tried to, although I guess I shouldn't.
We could have got that LeBron James guy.
They had,
Yeah, we should move on to non-Dayton basketball things because that is not the subject of this podcast, but we'll talk off mic.
The Dayton State is going to come for you?
The Dayton State, exactly. Ryan, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Oh, man, this is super embarrassing. But this happened to me a few months ago. I had to Google...
how to breathe.
I forgot the word rectangle.
Wow.
As like, I really forgot what the word rectangle is, and I had to Google... It's embarrassing. I had to Google two sides equal in length longer than other two.
Holy shit. That's amazing.
I fucking love that.
Wait,
how did that come about? What, when
a
you're like,
Longy Square?
That's what I would have done.
You're just making up new fucking adjectives.
It's Longy.
I remember at the time, it's like when a square is quarter horsed. Like I was
right, right, right.
But it's more embarrassing why I thought why I needed to recall the word. It was I had been researching astrology for like years, right? Uh-huh. And I thought I had. This is crazy. I thought I had channeled source, right? It was like 3 a.m. and I was like, geometry astrology. No one's done a geometry astrology system. Uh-huh. I mean, they probably have, by the way. But, and so I'm like, oh, it'll be great. You know, everybody will know what shape they are and how they fit into the world around them. You know what I mean? Like some people will be a circle. Some people will be a square. Some people will be a
rhombus. I could see that being very
And then
popular.
I couldn't remember. That's when I was like, and some people be what is that one thing? It's like a Little Caesar's pizza box. Yeah. You know, and I couldn't remember.
A
like,
Little Caesar's
Yeah, you're really a prophet, bro. You can't remember the word rectangle.
See, that's
Jesus couldn't remember the word forgiveness.
Right, the thing
that's key to the message.
They're like, what do you see in me, Master Ryan? Oh, you, my child, are a, hold on,
what are those?
Longy, two sides are definitely longer than the other.
It's like a headshot, but it fell over.
They're like, all right, I think I'm going to leave your van now.
It's a church? It's a church.
I don't pay taxes because it's a church.
It's a mobile church.
What is something you think is underrated?
Eggnog.
Underrated?
Oh, wow.
I know these are controversial opinions.
Such an appropriate time on this middle or end of March.
Yeah, right? There's always – see, this is the problem.
The hot
this
air.
Is a, oh. This is a result of the underratedness of eggnog, thinking that it's only a holiday, end-of-the-year type drink.
Right.
It is one of the most delicious drinks. And now, granted, you cannot be drinking eggnog all the time because it's not good for you.
It is remarkably bad for
and
you.
And I make my own eggnog at home.
Oh, okay.
I've taken to it. It tastes like a melted sugar cookie.
Yeah.
It's so good. Mm. One of the most under – and you can add any booze to it if you want.
Yeah.
I make it alcohol-free and let the person
decide.
Peppermint vodka is very good. Some people do bourbon. Oh. Some people do rum. Some people do brandy.
Yeah, I've always had it with brandy or cognac and things like that. I've never had it with peppermint.
Courvoisier is very good in eggnog. I like Jameson as well.
Mm. Yeah, so how did you – what happened when you became a diehard eggnogist?
Well, I just loved it as a kid, probably because there's so much sugar in it.
Yeah. Well,
it's like drinking melted ice cream.
Yeah, I think I've somehow mentioned this on the show before, but like when you look at Starbucks like holiday lattes, the pumpkin spice and like all the other one gingerbread, like all those ones that are like sweet and like have a different flavor have, you know, like 300 more calories than a normal latte, and then the eggnog has like 600 more. It's just eggnog is like next level. It's like a milkshake and then they put egg yolks in it.
Yeah.
And it's just like next level bed
for
you.
It is next level.
The bodybuilder's treat.
I do think like if we're going to be indulgent, like you might as well go full out, like hardcore indulgent.
Yeah.
I had one of my buddies went home over Christmas break in college and came back and he had like a third chin, like just like a neck layer of fat. And he had been like a very thin guy.
Right.
And he was like, I just wanted to see how much weight I could gain on eggnog. And apparently that shit works.
Is he okay?
Yeah. He's.
I just like that
he
mentality.
He works for
he's
New
like,
Balance now, so
he's
he,
like, yeah, I
want
to see how
off.
Much I could gain off of eggnog.
That's actually not the crazy. I've heard other tales of these eggnog weight gain challenges.
Yeah.
And
really,
it's one of the probably best things to, you know, gain a lot of weight.
You know what's the worst though is cheap, shitty eggnog at the store.
Yeah.
Like, there's levels to store bought eggnog. Like the kind of sort of generic version of eggnog. I'm not really feeling it. If I see something remotely artisanal, I'm going for it.
Yeah,
because
now
there's
pumpkin eggnog. There's all kinds of eggnog. There's soy. There's everything. But I mean, straight classic eggnog.
Yeah,
you know? Give me the classic.
Just put half and half in a blender with three eggs and some nutmeg. Boom.
Right. And then like, you know, those big bricks of sugar that you get of it. Just all of that.
Yeah,
just
all
the
of
whole
it.
Fucking.
My problem started because there was a grocery store in my hometown as a kid that I discovered sold it year round.
Oh wow!
This place
that was
It was like a privately owned like little grocery store in the neighborhood, this place called Dorothy Lane Market. I'll give them a shout out.
Yeah,
they sold it year round, I lost my mind.
Yeah,
and I was the one that they probably stocked it for.
That's probably why you couldn't remember what the name of a rectangle.
Yeah, too much nog in there.
Yeah.
In the nog.
What's something you think is overrated, Ryan?
Chocolate.
Wow. Mm.
Chocolate is
okay,
overrated.
Now why? Well, do I have you like chocolate
I have
first?
Two things written down here. Okay. I have chocolate and then also individuality. Individuality.
Wow.
But,
okay.
I do think individuality is overrated, but chocolate I think is a lie told by, you know, Big Chocolate. You know, Big Chocolate, has sold us this lie, you know, and I don't know. I just never liked chocolate. Maybe my mom ate too much of it when she was pregnant with me or something, but I've just never liked it unless peanut butter.
You've
was
just
involved.
Never liked chocolate.
Really,
never. You like chocolate it. And peanut butter though.
Yeah, if peanut
you're
butter.
A sane
yeah,
person.
Yeah, yeah, have you ever had a Lindt truffle?
I don't know. I don't think I have.
Okay.
Lindt. Like, well, there is a caveat. I mean, I'm a hypocrite in everything I say or do, so I can admit this. I do love hot chocolate.
Right.
And whoa. I love hot chocolate because it doesn't taste like chocolate really, but
yeah, it's got like a butteriness to it. It
or
doesn't
it's like
have
more,
like the
yeah, definitely more milk on the milkier side.
Yeah. Okay.
But like chocolate ice cream, oh, gag me with a spoon, as the kids would say 20 years ago.
As the kids always say
20 years
gag
ago.
Gag me with a spoon.
I actually agree with chocolate ice cream. I'm not crazy about
chocolate cake. Ooh,
chocolate cake. Right, I can get behind go. And chocolate. I fucking.
You dog whistling now.
What?
Chocolate ice cream. I don't know, bro.
To actual dogs.
we can't have chocolate. Oh, I love chocolate.
And then quickly, individuality, just in five words or less, what's wrong with individuality?
It keeps us from realizing we
are
all
one. Sorry, man.
And we are all one.
Okay. We are all one.
Great. We are all on E.
We are all one.
Yeah. We are all on E. Hey, that works too. And then what is a myth? What's something that most people think is true that you know to be false?
Well, I've also written down a couple of examples because I don't know if one of them classifies as a myth, but I will say this. I don't know how popular of a myth is that vulnerability creates connection. I was on a Delta flight, if I can say that, and I was listening to a TED Talk by Brene Brown, it's a great TED Talk.
You actually can't say TED Talk.
Oh, okay, yeah. Sorry. And I was
we
listening.
Call it Edward Talk.
Edward
Talk. Theodore Talk.
And so I listened to like the second half of it, and it was like very moving. So I like just in it loops on their radio, on their little.
Oh yeah,
armrest
radio.
So
yeah.
I'm just listening to it again, and then like it's so moving and powerful that I start crying. On this flight, and I'm on a window seat because I love the window. And I look next to me. There's a woman sitting next to me, and I'm like bawling. And she obviously knows I'm crying,
right?
And I look to her and I say, "Vulnerability." You know what I mean? And then she did not connect with me.
And she got the fuck out of there.
She started hitting that agenda
like,
button.
Stewardess, do you have anyone who would switch with me?
Yeah, because I didn't, you know, in the moment realize that she was not listening to the TED Talk.
Right.
So I'm just some, like, guy who looks like me crying, looking at her going, right. Vulnerability, you know what I mean? Yeah.
You know,
yes, I do. Please, now here, take
40,
these peanuts and leave me alone.
Up in the air, and I've never felt more vulnerable.
Gives you her purse and walks away.
Here.
Backs away.
I never said I wasn't vulnerable. That's not what I'm saying.
So that's my experience with that one. Also, the wine bottle with the shoe that you can open if you don't have a corkscrew, that's BS.
The
it doesn't
wine
work.
Bottle
I
with fuck, the shoe.
Yo, I tried that once when I was working a campaign in, like, I forget where the fuck I was. I was living in a hotel, and I got a bottle of wine, and I couldn't get it. I had no wine key, and I tried that version. Fucking busted the wine bottle.
Yeah,
like, I
it
fucked
does not
it
work.
Up. But I saw a video of someone doing
right?
it.
Right? It's bogus. I think because you shake the foundation of whatever you're – like if you're in a hotel or something,
yeah,
everyone's like, what is
going on? Security came, and, like, they came into a guy with a broken wine bottle all over him, and I'm like, hey.
Wow.
Didn't have a wine crew.
And also Chupacabra. I don't believe in Chupacabra.
Oh, you don't?
Chupacabra is
– okay.
Chupacabra is younger than Miley Cyrus. The myth,
yeah,
the myth
true.
Itself. So,
yeah,
like,
that is true.
I don't,
oh, really?
Of that, all like the cryptids that you know, and I'm like into that stuff.
Ryan
I'm into
is
those.
Our resident cryptozoologist.
But Chupacabra, I'm not on board with.
The Chupacabra is younger than Miley Cyrus,
based on like some local news, like misunderstandings and shit.
Yeah. Oh
it's,
man,
yeah, it's from like the 90s.
But I'll tell you what, it's got a good PR team. It's got a good PR team.
Yeah.
You said you what?
Was sucking all those goats for nothing.
Sucking
the
Obama.
Blood of goats, to be specific.
Oh,
right?
Is that what it is? See, I'm getting a bunch of bunk information.
You're just blowing, blowing goats.
I looked foolish for about 17 years then. Yeah. And that will end now. Thank you, Ryan.
All right, let's get into what is trending on our global shared consciousness right now. For that, we look to Google Trends. And the number two trending thing right now in the world, we can't talk about the number one trending thing because it is Trump Free Thursdays.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, shout out to Shannon Coffey with that drop.
So number two most trending thing is the world's largest collection of ocean garbage, Garbage Island, is now twice the size of Texas.
This is the Pacific Gyre? Is
yeah,
that the same thing?
Yeah, the Pacific Garbage sort of.
I like how they call it the large collection of ocean, it almost makes it glamorous.
Yeah.
It's a fucking, just a hideous, it's the worst of humanity in the Pacific Ocean.
Right. And it's like,
twice
Ryan,
the size
you
of
were,
Texas.
Yeah. You were saying, like, do you know, have any idea how long it takes to drive across Texas?
And you get to drive 75 miles an hour on the freeway.
Yeah.
I had to do it a bunch of times just from being on the road. And it's awful. Like,
imagine
that
doing
is
that
so
twice.
Much land.
It's interesting that the garbage in the ocean, like, kind of collects together and turns into a big island, but the garbage in space, like, has a tendency to, like, you know, shatter because it, like, runs into each other and it's moving faster than the speed of a bullet. So it's just tons of tiny pieces of garbage out in space, just a layer.
I mean, I guess we don't have
really
a plan
fast
to
garbage.
Get rid of it either.
Nope. Nah. Just make it bigger.
Well, no, not the space garbage. There is a multi-million-dollar fund being put together to clean up the garbage patch that was started by, I think, a teenager in like one of the Nordic countries was just like, man, that fucking sucks, and started like collecting funding. And I think he's up to $35 million. And they're
That's
like
awesome.
putting hey. A group together to clean up this giant, horrible garbage patch. And so they went out and kind of studied it, and it turns out it's 45% commercial fishing nets that have
just
been discarded.
Get
yeah.
the fuck out of here.
So apparently that's a thing that happens a lot with commercial fishing boats, is they just like cut net. They're just like, shit, we gotta
fuck it.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's wildlife living on this. There's,
probably.
Yeah.
I'm telling
I'd imagine.
It's like its own ecosystem. I'm glad the plan isn't like, let's just burn it.
Right.
You could imagine
fucking
that being
stab
humans.
It.
You
just burn it, man. I love burning stuff. Just drop a bomb on it.
The Planet Earth 2 has a whole episode that's about cities and like animals learning to live around human cities. That's pretty interesting. Worth checking out. But
do you think they're doing that with this garbage island?
Yeah, they're fucking resourceful.
My hope is that in the Olympics in 2020, the garbage island will have a team, Olympic team, that they can send out there to compete.
One of the dopest things in
okay,
so just, I was gonna
just float
I'm,
on.
I'm
that,
over here.
Past that one.
I'm thinking what their flag would be, like just like a wrapper.
Oh right,
yeah, right. It's a net. It's just
a net. Yeah,
just a net on a stick.
Right. Who would be the captain of the garbage team?
I wish it would be Captain Ron, but
Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell would reprise his role.
Right.
Captain. It doesn't really make sense, but
yeah, I like that. He's carrying the net.
Fuck
like,
yeah.
He's walking them out.
Or the who's the Muppet in the trash can?
Oh,
Oscar
the Grouch.
Well, he's like the prime minister of Trash Island. I don't know if he was like, he'd be
I don't
like
know what his
captain.
Event would be, yeah.
Just fucking bothering people who walk by.
Yeah. Although he walks now. He like fucking.
Wait, he's out of the can?
Yeah,
he's out of the
he
can.
Got out of the can like on a recent episode of Sesame Street and like walked down the street and they just like showed his legs. I was like, no!
Oh, no,
were
no,
they all
no,
atrophied?
No.
They're like bed sores and shit. Just like
he's seeking medical care because the wounds have festered. He needs the legs to be amputated. He's like, please, I've been living in a garbage can.
Yeah.
Well,
Oscar's out.
I refuse to look at that. You saw my face when you said that. I was just genuinely in shock when I heard that I would see Oscar out of the can. No.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. They Muppets,
don't need it.
Muppets have legs now. They when we were kids, they just didn't show them from belly button down, and also realistic human genitalia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. On the Muppets.
All right.
Wait, no, they don't have that anymore.
Oh, I was like, oh, sheesh. Because I was like, are you sure you weren't watching Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared? Have you seen that?
No.
It's on YouTube. It's like this adult Muppet stuff.
Yeah.
And it's so trippy.
It's
really
wild.
All right. Also trending. Owen Wilson is trending because he caused the evacuation of a Miami hotel.
Yeah,
because
he smoked a cigarette inside. It triggered the
That's
fucking
what it takes
smoke
these
alarms.
Days, man.
I mean, who smokes a cigarette indoor anywhere anymore?
It's scummy. I think only a celebrity would do like, fuck it, I'm gonna smoke
I've
a cigarette.
I've got the money
in
to
here.
Pay for the fee.
Yeah, because also, yeah, like it set off the alarm. They had to evacuate the hotel.
Yeah.
And then apparently, like, it was caught on camera of like him and his like whatever his date he was with. They're like dancing in the hall as like the alarm goes off.
They're just,
like they're
wasted,
having a good time.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Wow.
I set off
that
smoke detector
with smoke.
It's crazy that Yeah, that's like what being a badass celebrity is now. Sinatra used to be able to like murder a person in a hotel room like loudly and people would just be like, ah, Frank. Frank.
And now you got a bunch of pissed off hotel guests being like, fucking Owen Wilson smoked a cigarette in his bathroom.
Yeah. But I think it's probably progress that we're where we're at.
Sure, of course. yeah, clearly murdering someone is the worst.
Yeah. Ben Affleck's back tattoo. We have to talk about it. We've been ignoring it for a long time, but yeah. it's time to talk about it because we saw a picture of it. I saw a picture of it earlier this week. I've not slept since.
I don't know what to make of this tattoo because
it's just wild, man.
It's so aggressive. That Phoenix is.
I gotta tell you, I love Phoenixes.
Me too.
Feni.
Whatever we're gonna get.
I love dragon-like creatures.
Yeah. No, there's.
And I do wonder when he got it.
Like what his state was?
Yeah. Where was he when he got, was it pre-Batman? Was it like, cause you know, is that when he had the time to, this is an elaborate, probably took a long time to get done.
Right.
Yeah.
Like this is a 3-day tattoo. Like it's one of those ones that like you have to go back and get touched up and shit.
Well, what's crazy is like 2 years ago, apparently like there was a picture of him shirtless where it like they showed the tattoo and he told Mario Lopez it was fake.
And Mario Lopez was like, yeah, that makes sense, dude.
Yeah, it's like, all right.
Oh, you got fake tattoo too? Sometimes I use those sleeves that you can buy that you just put on.
Just wear it, dude. It's true. Yeah. Oh, yeah, this shitty fucking lame tattoo.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's fake.
They don't let me have it at Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah.
Or wait, is he on one of those? Or Extra.
Extra.
Sorry.
He also has some kind of deal with Satan because he doesn't age.
Yeah. Just completely dead behind the eyes.
You know, he had to get it, since it is a Phoenix, he had to have gotten it.
In Phoenix,
after his career revived.
Yeah, right.
So like a symbol of, like, I think probably once he got, you say was the benchmark that brought back his career?
I think the town was like where it was like, yeah, he's
to me, he's always just kind of hovered in the same space of like, all right, whatever, Ben Affleck.
Man. Ben Affleck was like a laughing stock. It was like, hey, I wonder if Matt Damon returns his phone calls. And then he came back as a director and we were like, all right, he has some talent. And then, now he's, you know.
So the town was his Copland.
I think
like
the town.
Stallone's Copland and Travolta's Pulp Fiction. Like, so the town, you think?
Yeah.
I think this tattoo is probably right after Argo.
Right after he won the Oscar?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably true.
I'm back, baby, and I'm going to show everybody
I'm back on my back. Tattoo.
Do you think he had like the goth kid's notebook that he took that from him and he was just like, yo, or did he describe it from the
it feels generic. I don't know. It looks like
it feels like a goth kid's notebook as interpreted by the people who did the Trapper Keeper art for like like glittery, like, you know, it's like very clean cut.
Okay, but take
also
shots at the
like,
Trapper Keeper designers. Okay.
No,
okay.
I think they're geniuses. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back, and we wanted to talk about the deep state, something that is really becoming a problem right now, huh, Miles?
I mean, look, the deep state, from what I'm reading, is responsible for most of the world's problems.
Yeah.
You know, from there was a, like, I think, what, last year, there was a former congressman in Texas who was basically caught, like, funneling money into a charity of his own creation and was facing criminal charges for that. Mm-hmm. But the deep state framed him. You know, I think most recently we found out that the deep state was also responsible for Ben Carson's $31,000 dining room set.
Wait, really?
Yeah, it was.
I didn't know about that.
It was because
I knew they were busy like taking our president currently is down. But
No, you're bro.
they've got eyes everywhere.
Yeah,
huh?
You think it's right, my man? They got their hands in everything. So. The reason I bring this up is because recently there was a poll that came out that said about 47% of Americans, they believe that the deep state probably exists. 27% said that the deep state definitely exists. Now, I understand like conceptually that there are forces at work that we can't quite articulate through what we see in the mainstream news or whatever. And like there are powerful lobbying groups and other things that at work that can, you know, shift policy and things like that.
Yeah. Like there are bureaucrats who aren't subject to election who, you know, have a lot of influence.
Right. And even
some of them are in intelligence and probably real shady motherfuckers. Ryan, weren't you saying that like there's a big chunk of the annual budgets that just like goes into a black hole and disappears.
It just disappears, and like Congress and everybody is like, well, we just don't know where it goes, but it goes, you know, it goes into all these like, you know, secret defense programs things like that. So, I mean, my problem with this whole deep state thing being thrown around, like, you know, like they used to like, oh, thanks, Obama, like they used to do back then.
Yeah, it's the new thing.
Or
the
Obama. Fake news.
Yeah. Right, you know,
It's like they're, it's diminishing like the realness of something.
Right, exactly. So cut to this congresswoman, Claudia Tenney, who represents a district in upstate New York. She called into a radio show and just listened to her basically blaming the deep state for Ben Carson's problems.
Somebody in the deep state, it was not one of his people apparently, ordered a table, like a conference room table or whatever it was, for a room. And that's what the cost was. And when Ben Carson tried to, he said, you know how hard it is to turn it back because of the way that the procurement happens?
She sounds like she took all the sleeping pills right before starting that interview.
I mean, Claudia Tenney has hot takes, to say the least. I mean, she was like, you know, she claimed
you know how hard it is to turn it back? You mean return something that you bought online? That's like the whole point of online commerce.
Yeah, but Ben said that
apparently
you can't. I don't know. No.
I'm sorry, ma'am. Did you just fall asleep?
No. No. The deep state. This is a deep state. But yeah, so what's funny is like Ben Carson, though, this week he testified and was talking about it. He threw his fucking wife under the bus. He's like, yeah, my wife decided that we needed it, and you know, I just don't. It was wild to also just see him pass the buck. Although there are fucking emails, like through Freedom of Information Act request, they were able to get like emails, and the correspondence is clear. Him and his wife were looking at shit, and they're like, oh no, get this one. So, Glenn, like you're saying, the deep state has basically, for some people, become like the default way to. It's just like a really shitty debate tool. Is just to be like, nah, it's deep state. Fuck it. It's like, that's it. It's just the deep state. Like, without explaining, like, this fits a pattern, especially with a lot of cabinet members that Trump has appointed having, like, a really bad habit of fucking balling out on the taxpayer's dime.
Right.
So, deep state, though. Deep state.
Deep state. Yeah, I think you're right, though, that it will become the go-to, like, hipster joke, the way that, thanks a lot, Obama, or, like, calling someone a commie, like, before that. Like, right. Where a joking thing.
But it is a little concerning, right? Because when you look at those statistics, and clearly, like, we are a lot of this misinformation shit, and I think just generally the way, because our government runs so inefficiently, people are left to try and explain for themselves what the fuck is going on or explain their own situation.
Sure.
And I think for some people, the deep state has become, like, a legitimate way that they're explaining like why the things they want to happen aren't happening.
I think you can just, I mean, we can call it what it is for a lot of these people who are, you know, in the 27% who are convinced that the deep state is real.
Definitely.
Let's just say what it is. They think it's a synonym for Illuminati, New World Order, things like that. You know, the powerful elite,
the
Rothschilds, everything.
Yeah,
right? And that's not to say that, you know, the richest people in the world do have a vested interest in working with
100%,
each other. 100%. Of course. And so when you have people throwing around the deep state for like dinnerware or a conference table or like, you know, what it really does is it deflects and it really diminishes the realness of like the problem that may be with this actual deep state, if in fact it is as powerful as some people think.
Right. It seems like for right now, a lot of conservatives are using it as the career, like federal, you know, law enforcement people who are just shining a light on someone's business.
Right.
Because we're not supposed to say somebody's name. But yeah, like that's.
But I mean, yeah, it's just frustrating because the people who are really angry about the deep state are the same people whose, you know, the things they're fighting for are basically dictated by the Koch brothers like 10 years ago to like their political.
Yeah. Well, because, but like they say the distribution is pretty equal among Democrats
on
and
both
Republicans.
Sides?
Yeah. So I'm sure. It's just like, you know, like my grandparents were really thinking about, they were talking about the Illuminati years ago. Because they were like, you know, Beyonce and Jay-Z are in the Illuminati. My grandparents said that shit to me and I was like, and I said, what do you mean by that? And they're like, well, they made a deal with Satan. And I was like, grandma, god damn.
What is it? Kali is a big one. The female, like goddess. I don't know. To me, it's pretty fascinating stuff, but like so many wormholes that open up and rabbit holes that open up. And unfortunately, there's so many people who, you know, have a microphone, that are very popular.
Right.
Or that have a lot of people listening to them. One of them we won't name.
Yeah, Jack O'Brien.
Another one of them has a, you know, like, and so everyone, instead of taking any responsibility for oneself,
Yeah.
And understanding that when everyone talks about they, like, they're out to get us, that we're all complicit in this, like, in this, like, society. Like, there's – they is a tiny part of every single one of us.
Right.
Is what I truly believe. But so it really shirks responsibility for any personal accountability on all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody described it, I think talking about Cambridge Analytica, but they described overall the experience of propaganda today as – you know, someone shouting in your ear with a megaphone, except nobody around you can hear it. So, like, we don't know what propaganda you've been exposed to because, you know, you happen to be listening to, you know, whatever media diet you have selected for yourself, or, you know, your algorithms or Facebook has selected for you that's, like, specifically designed to your preferences. It's, like, specifically designed to be appealing to you. But so what your beliefs are informed by are, like, people around you don't know, and it's really hard to monitor.
Yeah.
One of the things that I really took from this, like, you know, with, like, the Russians and the Cambridge Analytica and all this, is that how are people getting Facebook ads to work? Like, I have been putting money into Facebook ads.
Right.
Like, they work?
Yeah, right.
Like, oh, that's the debate. Figured out how to get Facebook ads to work. Like, they figure, I guess, like, to me, and then, like, also, I mean, obviously, it's much more than I'm making a joke, but, like,
right,
as far as, like, stealing data and harvesting information from people. But,
I mean, maybe you should just use fear-based advertising.
Maybe I should.
To, like, sell your, like, book
should,
and things
like
that.
Maybe I should pull an Alex Jones and tell everybody that their kids are going to
be
gay.
Oh, hell yeah. If you don't buy his book, yeah. your children's testicles will turn to ovaries. Yeah. And that's the end of America. So
trying to have transvestites raise your children.
Right.
It's like, what?
Okay. Yeah, it's like, okay, let's relax.
But I guess I will be buying his book now.
Yeah. I hadn't realized that he was now targeting the person who took the video of the gray Dodge Charger, like, going into the crowd of protesters in Charlottesville. Alex Jones has now, like, convinced everybody that that person's a deep state operative.
The guy who took the video?
Who took the video.
Okay.
Who's just down there, you know, being a counter protester, like,
yeah,
just a young person who had, like, he had been in, I think, the Peace Corps or one of those, you know.
Or AmeriCorps or something
AmeriCorps,
like that.
AmeriCorps, yeah, something like that. And so he had gone to other countries to volunteer, and they're like, see, he's like.
He's doing global. Yeah, he's in all. He's all, yeah,
CIA had him in Africa.
It's part of the global network.
Man, this really pisses me off because as a guy who over the years has been into certain conspiracy theories and things like that, I mean, the origin of conspiracy theory being created by the CIA or whatever, like, not everything, not every conspiracy theory is total BS, and not,
yeah,
and obviously they're not all true either. But now, as a dude who used to be into some of this stuff, like, now everything is a conspiracy theory immediately when it happens.
Right.
But every single thing is because of this maniac, right?
Right.
Like, it's not like the shell casing hasn't even hit the floor before Alex Jones is saying crisis actors.
Right.
It's like, dude.
Right.
You are killing. You're killing us.
And he'll
inside.
Use a defense that he's a performance actor.
Right.
Performance
he's both
artist.
Killing us and killing in terms of traffic and his,
yeah,
nutraceutical sales. Like, he,
yeah,
makes a fortune on.
I thought he's not doing well, though, right now.
Well, with advertisers, I think he's not doing well.
Right,
but
right.
I think he's making money off the nutraceuticals.
Oh, just enough, right. Because, yeah, I know he's getting hit with other lawsuits.
And he's got a piece of the bunker companies, you know, like, you know, survival bunker. Like,
oh, right, yeah, I just bought mine.
When you are court ordered to pay close to, what, $50,000 a month in child support, you're killing it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, is that what his child support
No performance
are?
Artist.
Right.
Yeah.
Would ever be able to afford $50,000 a year if they're lucky, if you're a performance, yeah, artist.
Right. So that is one thing to note. He doesn't believe any of this shit. He goes into court and he's like, I'm an artiste.
I'm
this is a character that I play named Alex Jones. He happens to have the same name as me.
Right.
But he does not have the same beliefs as me.
Have and you heard
he
of Andy
he's like
Kaufman?
These cocks.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. But he is getting sued, this time not by his ex-wife, but by the guy who took the video in Charlottesville, because his life has been completely ruined by Alex Jones and Alex Jones's.
That must fuck.
It's, like, it's got to be like Steve Bartman on crack. It's got to be times
right.
What he's done to this guy.
Right, and,
yeah,
he only pissed off Chicago Cubs fans.
Yeah.
So, like, imagine when you get that whole.
Did you ever see the movie The Circle?
Mm-mm.
It's about social media group, and it's got Tom Hanks and Emma Watson. Anyway,
oh, right.
It kind of speaks
Dave
to
Eggers
this.
Book.
Yeah, it kind of speaks to this, but the idea that, like, you can destroy someone's life,
right,
by shining your lens on them.
right?
Is such a, it's a reality that we're living in.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's sad because the people who are creating the sort of platforms to do this, I seem to not really understand what they have created, man, or what their role is in creating these things.
So Mark Zuckerberg emerged from the mists wherever he was just laying low for the past 5 days. And
what's in his like residential where he bought like the 9 houses around him?
Right. And he
it's a buffer zone, as he calls it.
Right. Which would be so creepy if like all your neighbors were just empty houses.
Yeah, well, I think like homies live there, but he definitely was like, he's like, I'm gonna buy half this neighborhood. Right. I don't want anybody looking at me.
Wow, he really appreciates privacy.
Yeah,
weird. So he came out and was like, you know, he acknowledged that what they did was a problem, and that he, you know, said that they're working to fix the problem. He never said we're sorry, because I'm sure legally, like, his lawyers were like, you do not say anything that indicates culpability. But there was this one passage in his interview with the New York Times where he was like, are there other Cambridge Analyticas out there? Were there apps which could have gotten access to more information and potentially sold it without us knowing, or done something that violated people's trust? We also need to make sure we get that under control. So he like asked these questions that like we're all asking him.
Yeah,
and
he
was just like, I'll answer that question with another question.
Should we?
With the same question. Like,
Ask me a question. Ask me a question.
Ryan, do you think there are other Cambridge Analyticas out there that are using people's data in nefarious ways?
Well, I think we have to ask ourselves, Ryan, are there other companies out there like Cambridge Analytica using?
Yes. Wait, hold on. I just asked you a yes or no question, my man. What the fuck are you talking? Yeah, and it's so reactive too. Like the shit is like, well, like, we're gonna do a full forensic analysis of like all of our data, blah blah blah. It's like, asshole, you need to be telling people about what you are doing now to prevent shit like this happening, and saying more about, rather than like, yeah, we're gonna have to look into that and get that under control.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like a problem floor of a dorm where you're like, yeah, we're going to look into that. I hear those kids are partying too much. We're going to look into that. It's like 50 million people. Who knows if that's even the actual number?
Right.
50 million people's data is like just being used for whatever the fuck people want.
Can we also like just mention, stop taking personality quizzes on Facebook.
I mean, like,
you don't know what house you're in.
Right.
And, like the Harry Potter world, you know.
You're a Hufflepuff, you're a Miranda, and
in your heart, you know you're a Slytherin.
And you're a Leonardo, unfortunately.
You're a Leonardo and a Blue Ranger. Yeah, right.
And you're not, none of you are Lionel.
Yeah.
None of you are Lionel.
He also did this sort of false modesty thing where he was like, I mean, when I was making Facebook in my dorm room, like, I could never have imagined that I'd be talking about like elections. It's like, dude, you easily, if I had that kid here right now, you as a freshman at Harvard, and was like, yo, you're going to be talking about elections, he'd be like, yeah, fuck right I am.
Yeah, everyone like, is going to be, everyone in the fucking world is going to use this.
Right.
And then, but no, not for elections. Yeah, the way he really kind of threw his hands up, just like, because it was whiny almost. The way, like, if you really, like, watch that interview on CNN. Because the way he's like, because the delivery was like, if you told me in 2004,
right,
I would have to, like, be talking about election integrity.
Right.
It's like, man, fuck you.
Right.
Like, just fucking, you have, like, the equivalent of the followers of, one of the most massive religions on earth. But if we're going by sheer volume of users, like, over 2 billion people.
Right.
Yeah, you kind of have that fucking responsibility.
Like, I'm supposed to have to talk to you people
and, like,
when I'm one of the richest guys in the world?
I'm, like, one of the most
In the words of
guys.
Don Draper, that's what the fucking money is for.
Right.
Like, yeah, you get all that money that there's something that we exchange for that. You need to, like, work really hard to, like, help us out. You don't just get to, like, sit back and be lucky and, like, win the lottery.
I mean, I understand, like, why that, you know, it's lucrative to sell this data. And clearly that just got so out of hand that now we're at this point where, like, whoa, what the fuck are you doing with all this information? And, like, now we really have this sort of conversation now. It's like, how much insight is too much insight? Like, that clearly, you know, commerce and capitalism will function without these, like, hyper-targeted advertisements and things like that. And where is, like, the line now? Because now Congress is like, yo, get your ass over here and answer some fucking questions, and don't just answer my question with the question I just asked you.
Right. Yeah, I feel like they need, we were talking about black hats and white hats, like getting white hat hackers who will like work on exposing flaws like this ahead of time. I feel like they need to be spending, you know, when they talk about like releasing a movie, you spend like equal to the production budget on advertising it. I feel like these companies need to spend equal to whatever their operating budget is trying to like find vulnerabilities and think like somebody trying to exploit their product. Once they get that big, like that's where they need to be thinking, because that's their responsibility. And they're not going to do that on their own. The government needs to like find them to such a degree that they have to think of these solutions themselves and like be proactive. But they're not going to get proactive just by us being like, shame on you. Like it's, they need to see actual, you know, monetary consequences.
Or people like being like, oh, you delete your Facebook.
Right.
And your Instagram and all this. What's crazy to me is that like people are even talking about like, well, I guess I'll just be on Twitter then.
Right.
Like as if Twitter is the better one.
Right.
Yeah. See, unfortunately, the easiest solution to all of this is the most difficult for people to
get the fuck off social media.
Yeah. Basically. It's just, I mean, you know, whether, you know, I mean, I think it's kind of ironic that he, you know, has these 9 empty houses around him, that he's so disconnected from people when like he's got the thing that supposedly connected us all the most. Right.
Right. Right.
But the easiest way is to just get off Facebook and get off these, like, I'm trying to remember, but it's like, it's not a new statement. Like there's nothing free.
Right.
Right.
So anytime you sign up for free something, you're giving away, you know, you're surrendering your soul as it were.
Right.
Right.
But so, I mean, like we could all, the world was fine without social media to a certain degree. I mean, there's, although there are benefits. I'm not one of these like old grumpy, like I'm 41.
Right.
Well,
right.
Without, you know, I'm in my middle ages. Blah, 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 social. You know, like I think, you know, what was it? The, Egypt summer.
Arab Spring.
Arab Spring. Yeah,
totally. Egypt summer.
Yeah,
it turned into an Egypt summer.
The connectivity of that with live video on Twitter specifically, I remember, because it was also during, I think that happened during like the Occupy movement was like kind of strong during all that time as well. Mm-hmm. And I know that like there is real power in social media.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know,
it cuts both ways.
It cuts both ways.
And like our producer Nick was pointing out that when that was happening, everyone on Twitter and Facebook was patting themselves on the back, like, "Oh, look at this tool for change we've created." And they love it when they can, you know, do the little pat on the back victory dance. But when you start looking at it a little bit closer, like, "Well, what's the other side of that?" Then they're like, "Oh, well,
right.
Have to look into that."
It's just, it depends on if it's the type of change you want to be happening. It's like we were talking about yesterday, the fact that Obama 2012, that campaign used a lot of the same tools that Cambridge Analytica did. They weren't quite as shady. They didn't quite
steal data.
Yeah. They just like got data, but Facebook was like, this is a little shady, but we'll let you do it until the election's over because everybody was cool with Obama getting reelected.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, and like Nick was saying, the fact that they've known since the Arab Spring and since Obama won the 2012 election, that Facebook could be used for these things, like, puts a lie to the thing that Zuckerberg was saying, like, when I was sitting in my dorm, did I know that Facebook could be influencing elections? It's like, yeah, you definitely knew that. We know you knew that 5 years ago. Like, we know for a fact.
Yeah, but I didn't know that in 2004.
Right, exactly. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And so, you know, we get accused of being a little leftish because we criticize whoever's in the White House right now. But so we wanted to take this opportunity to talk about somebody who's on the left who I don't think I could hate more or be like more annoyed by. Like I have a physical reaction to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the actor
Barack Obama.
Yeah, it's the actor Barack Obama. No, it's the actor Sean Penn.
No.
So he just released, or is in the process, next week apparently sees the release of his first novel.
Oh. Great.
It is.
What's the title?
The title is grammatically incorrect. It is Bob Honey Who Just Do Stuff. So,
what the fuck?
We're pretentious right from the jump.
Bob Honey Who Just Do Stuff.
Yeah. Like, it's interesting and artistic because that's not how you say that phrase.
Yeah, how do you say it to make it sound coherent?
Bob, he just does stuff.
Right, no, but as written, Bob Honey, who just do stuff. Is there like
Bob
a pace, a rhythm
yeah,
to
if
read
you,
it?
If
Bob
you
Honey.
Actually,
who?
Just do stuff.
Oh, just do stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like multiple people need to be involved in this conversation.
Bob Honey who? Like, you don't know who Bob Honey is. And then it's just like, just do stuff.
Anyway, so this book sounds great already because we don't even can't even wrap our minds.
Still running scenarios.
Yeah,
like,
I'm still
like a 6-year old kid. Like, hey, Mom, I don't know Bob Honey.
Who? Bob Honey, who? Just do stuff. Like,
right, right. Yeah. So Bob Honey has a hard time connecting with other people. He's the protagonist, especially since his divorce.
Huh.
Hmm.
Oh, okay.
He's tired of being marketed to every moment.
Well,
sick of a world where even an orgasm isn't real until it is turned into a tweet. Now, what the fuck are you talking about right there,
this
Sean
is in
Penn?
The Amazon description of
yeah,
the book.
Yeah, this is his.
This isn't Jack riffing. This is this is the product description.
Sick of a world where even an orgasm isn't real until it is turned into a tweet. What the fuck does that mean? Like, how does someone write that sentence and be like, I've summed up our culture?
Yeah, that's like dad beat poetry.
I don't even know. So embarrassing.
The thing continues. A paragon of old-fashioned American entrepreneurship, Bob sells septic tanks to Jehovah's Witnesses and arranges pyrotechnic displays for foreign dictators.
Mm. Okay.
See, he's on the whole spectrum here, right. Of human experience.
Yeah. Let me just skip ahead to the end of the description. With treason on everyone's lips, terrorism in everyone's sights, and American political life sinking to ever lower standards, Bob decides it's time to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't get killed by his mysterious controllers or exposed in the rapacious media first.
Wait, what do you mean killed? What is
the deep state?
Right.
Oh, he's referencing the deep state.
Oh, for sure.
The mysterious controllers.
The other part we skipped is that, quote, he's also a contract killer for an off-the-books program run by a branch of U.S.
Right, right. He's also a killer.
That targets the elderly, the infirm, and others who drain this consumption-driven society of its resources. An elderly hit person?
Right. No, he kills the old, the elderly, because it's hurting American.
Dude, our healthcare system is doing a perfect
job. They're making so
of
much money
over
off
the elderly.
Of the elderly. Like, they're ideal targets.
My God.
Yeah. And as our writer, J.M. McNabb, said, who better to transition into a career as a satirist than Sean Penn, a guy who wrote an angry letter to Trey Parker and Matt Stone after Team America came out, offering to fly them to Iraq before they should be allowed to make jokes about not voting in an election. Because, cool. Yeah, he just took everything they said seriously. He's also the guy who, when Chris Rock made some joke about Jude Law when he hosts the Oscars, Sean Penn got up in his acceptance speech and was like, I'll tell you who Jude Law is. He's one of our finest working actors.
Oh, wow.
I was like,
all right, Spicoli, sit right, down.
Man. We also watched a video that I don't think you can put into words necessarily.
I mean, I understand Sean Penn, he's a real activist and really trying to fucking heal the wounds of this country. So I had never seen this video. Jack says, yo, have you seen the video where Sean Penn and Kid Rock are like arguing at a bar and they heal the nation? I said, fuck no. We watch it. It's fucking insane. It's Sean Penn at a bar, like watching Mitt Romney introduce Kid Rock to do a live performance. And then like the fucking shot holds on this Kid Rock performance for like a good 20 seconds more than it needs to be.
Like way long time.
And then suddenly like Sean Penn's like, can you change it? And the bartender does. And then the whole time Kid Rock was next to him, like drinking really loudly with his friends.
Singing into his beer bottle.
Yeah. Right. And then trading the, you know, the real tired stereotypical jabs that the left and right have for each other. He's like, you're just a Confederate flag hugging, blah, blah, blah. And Kid Rock's, you're just a Prius driving, Obama sucking. I don't know what the fuck that fucking.
Obama sucking.
Yo, miss me with that homophobic shit, Kid Rock. But,
a Chupa Obama.
Yeah. Chupa Obama.
Right.
Exactly. And then like the, I don't know. It just underlines sort of how out of touch or insane
and by the way,
both of them are.
Kid Rock, who wrote and I think directed or at least had a lot to do with the editing of this movie because of like there's a shot like Miles was saying where he's watching a Kid Rock performance. completely gratuitous. Like, there's actually no need for Sean Penn to see this Kid Rock performance.
No.
But then it holds on the Kid Rock performance for like 35 seconds so Kid Rock can like do the part he thinks looks cool.
Right.
But this was clearly like written and edited by him, and he never comes around on the gay thing. He's still homophobic at the end. Like, Sean Penn takes him to a gay marriage, which, by the way, is like the 80s beer commercial version of gay. It's like a guy dressed up as a groom and then another guy dressed up
as a woman with a beard.
A woman, like, wildly problematic. Got a beard, and then like surprise takes the veil away and they start kissing and Kid Rock goes, no way.
Like really big gestures.
Right. Yeah.
What's crazy though too is in that bar scene, the turn happens when they're bickering over their political ideological differences is when suddenly the news report comes on about a few like troops losing their lives in Afghanistan, and then like immediately drop the arguing. They both like drop their heads.
Sean Penn starts sobbing.
He starts crying. And then is like, yeah, man, I guess we should get along.
Right.
And then they're like, to freedom. And I think they cheers.
Yeah.
They go on like a gratuitous buddy trip where they learn about each other on the beach and they make a sandcastle
needs
flag.
To watch this video.
Sells his hot rod for a Prius.
It is the 10 longest minutes of your life. I mean, people say like the DMT experience, the psychedelic, it lasts about 10 to 15 minutes, right?
Yeah.
And, allegedly. And feels like eternity.
Oh, it does. And I thought I was in the Matrix.
This is like the video equivalent of DMT if you had like a really bad trip.
Yeah. Right. If a DMT trip is like right before you smoke the DMT, this is your stepmom yelling at you because your report card's really bad.
That's 10 imagine minutes, that but it trip. Feels like it's the longest video you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just a lot of cool stuff in this. Like,
but you owe it to yourself to once try psychedelics to like expand your mind. You owe it to yourself to at least once watch this video to see, if nothing else, the amazing way time can dilate when Sean Penn is trying to teach you something about how the world works.
Yeah, and how full of shit both people on either side can be.
I mean, could you fantasy draft, could you choose, select with your imagination two better/worse people to represent what it means for the opposites of America to come together?
Sean Penn and Alex Jones would be pretty dope.
Okay.
But Sean Penn is all of those things.
Yeah.
He's the worst of us.
Yeah, he's the worst of everything.
Yeah, he's definitely the worst.
Californians, artists, everything. He's just...
He embodies it all.
But getting back to his novel, so it features an American president who might be a stand-in for whoever's currently in the White House. I don't know. His name is Mr. Landlord.
Okay, so the protagonist is Bob
Mr.
Honey.
Mr. Landlord.
The president is Mr. Landlord.
I hope there's a dramatic scene in this book where it's like, and Bob Honey said he's going to take down Mr. Landlord.
Right. That sentence written out. Yeah, and then he talks about, there's a whole thing about how this president has an unhealthy obsession with Twitter and an uncanny ability to spark furious marches by women around the world.
Hmm.
And then it says also contains the killer burn penis adenosine.
Yeah. It's a weird thing. Okay, so part of it is he's writing a letter. Bob Honey's writing a letter to the president, Mr. Landlord.
Mr. Landlord. It's probably not even President Landlord.
Right. Many wonderful American people in pain and rage elected you. Many Russians did too, Byrne. Your position is an asterisk, accepted as literally as your alternative facts, Byrne. Though the office will remain real, you never were nor will be.
Whoa.
A million women so dwarfed your penis-adency, which is supposed to be a play on presidency, even though that's not clear at all.
And penis?
Nope.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, funnily enough, not.
No.
Penis-adency on the streets of Washington and around the world on the day of your piddly inauguration. That sentence doesn't end, and then it just says, ... Tweet me, bitch. I dare you. That is sharp, razor sharp.
He's
satire.
Even got fucking heat for the Me Too movement.
Yeah. Calls the Me Too movement, quote, an infantilizing term of the day. Is this a toddler's crusade? Reducing rape, slut shaming, and suffrage to reckless child's play? A platform for accusation impunity? Due process has lost its sheen?
I mean, it's crazy too because, like I was saying, both him and Madonna deny that, like, he, like, abused her, but there are plenty of reports of people, like, pulling up to the scene and seeing a distraught Madonna who I think was bloodied or whatever, supposedly, allegedly by Sean Penn.
And yet, it's not his fault in the sense that he has not lived in anything approaching reality for
quite some
30
time.
Years at the very least. And so people who are this famous are just going to do embarrassing shit. And, you know,
they definitely don't live in the real world.
It's a tough break. Yeah, I do. This is inevitable, I should say. It is his fault, but it's inevitable.
But there's nobody there to be like, looking at his first draft of this book, even though who knows if he even thought he needed someone to look at it and be like, this actually isn't very good. We maybe need to work on some of the dialogue to make it more realistic, like real people talk.
This is how people talk, man.
In my mind.
I was in the back of a Lincoln with Matthew McConaughey yesterday talking about like how cool it is to like every once in a while drive.
Yeah. Like a gas car. Whoa.
And finally, so the origin story of the book might be the best part. The origins of the book began with an audiobook Sean Penn performed, claiming it was written by Pappy Pariah, a novelist he, quote, met at a bar in Key West.
I think he's a pariah?
Hemingway was known as Papa Hemingway, and that's where he lived in Key West.
And Sean Penn is a pariah.
Sean Penn is also the Hemingway of our generation.
And the initials are PP.
Yeah.
And Sean Penn likes.
So it's so deep on so many levels.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
You know, and again, we are blessed to have, you know, people like Salman Rushdie put a fucking quote on the front of that book that says, "It seems wrong to say that so dystopian a novel is great fun to read, but it's true. I suspect that Thomas Pynchon and Hunter S. Thompson would love this book." Okay.
I could just see him like, he's sitting at a bar drinking some drink in Key West, and he's like, yeah.
Oh, if you don't think that conversation happened with him playing both sides
of it. He's like,
just realizing it.
I mean, people love your voice. I mean, they do. They always have. I mean, maybe we should do the audiobook version first. I think this is crazy enough to work. Yeah. Oh, Papa Pariah. Oh, are you serious?
Then the bartender's like, "Hey, asshole, stop talking to yourself. You're freaking out my customers. Now get the fuck out. What did I tell you last week?"
Ryan, it's been a pleasure having you here, man.
This has been great. Thanks for having me.
Where can people find you, follow you?
They can find me on RyanSingerComedy.com. They can see there's a link to my new book that I just came out. I put out a replica of, to my knowledge, the first time a comedian has put out their notebook. So people can see what it's like to look inside a comedian's notebook if they so choose. It's kind of an art comedy book that I really like. So they can check that out on Amazon, self-release. RyanSingerComedy.com's got links to everything. Rice Sing on Instagram.
Very cool. He brought us a copy. It is dope. Check it out. Miles, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @MilesGray.
You can find me at @Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, DailyZeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information contained in today's episode. That is going to do it for today. Miles, do you have a song to write us out on?
Yes. You know, I just want to, as Sean Penn was saying, since the Me Too movement has infantilized everything, I just want to play a song by Sly and the Family Stone called "Just Like a Baby." Cause you know, it's just got a great vibe to it. And just remember, Storm Free Thursday, so just vibe out. And, you know, listen to Sly. Let him fill your soul with his torture voice.
Alright, that's gonna do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Just like a baby.